talk to you about the mystery harvest. The mystery harvest. And this is a Jewish revelation that I'm about to give you. Amen, Paul. It's a Jewish concept. And I love to garden. When we lived in the old parsonage, I had a big garden down back for many, many years. Now I've kind of got like four buckets. That's the extent of my garden. The things that we eat, tomatoes, green peppers, yellow peppers, cucumbers, the things that we eat the most. And so even though it's small, I love watching stuff grow. You know, it's really disappointing if you plant flowers and they just are dead. You know, so I always go out and check. I planted three blueberry bushes. We love blueberries. And I'm going out every day, and if I see a little limb that's starting to die, oh, no, I hope they're okay. I'm not an experienced farmer. I have to get online. What's going on? What do I need to add? But harvest has been always a thing for me. I loved it. Home where I'm from, we've got lots of blueberry fields. Some of the provinces are blueberry suppliers. Some of them are apple suppliers. If you drive where I'm from, on the highways, there's wild apple trees everywhere. Just everywhere. You can pull over and just pick apples. I mean, they're just everywhere. And so I've always been interested in the harvest. And so I want to give you a mystery concerning the harvest that is so opposite in our thinking. And I don't know about you, but in 2021, it's been crazy, right? And so the big thing that we're having an issue with a lot of times is who do we believe, right? How do we approach the stuff that's happening? Do we get angry? Do we get mad? Do we bless? Do we curse? What's our response? And so, are we positive? Are we negative? And so when the Lord said, I want you to share this today, I said, yeah, but it's kind of not, we're not in that season. And the Lord said, no, it is. It's the time to share this. So I'm going to read several scriptures. I won't, preach as long as I normally preach. You can show an amen to that. That's okay. But I want to start off in Jeremiah 31, and there's not going to be any keynotes. You're going to have to actually look it up in your Bible or your phone Bible or your laptop Bible. So I would say write these down, go home. Deuteronomy 15, chapter 15, is all about the seven-year jubilee. It's about Israel going through their harvest, going through the blessing, no blessing, not planting their fields for a period of time, letting everything rest. It's kind of interesting. If you go to Jeremiah 31, 3 and 6, I want to read from the Living Bible. It says, for long ago, the Lord had said to Israel, I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. I will rebuild you. I will rebuild your nation, O virgin of Israel. You will again be happy. I want you to check this next couple of verses. You will again be happy and dance merrily with the timbrels. Again, you will plant your vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own garden there. The day shall come when the watchmen on the hills of Ephraim will call out and say, arise and let us go to Zion to the Lord our God. This is a really interesting verse because it's talking about God's people being in bondage, and they didn't have a harvest. They weren't planting. They weren't harvesting. They were enslaved. They were only doing what they were told to do. And so I want to go read from Mark 11, 24. It says, listen to me. Says, this is Jesus talking. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. This is a great translation, the Living Bible. Let me read it one more time. Listen to me. You can pray for anything. If you believe you have it, it's yours. One more verse, and we'll get into this. Maybe two more verses. Colossians 3 and 15. You don't mean scripture. Colossians 3 and 15. Let the peace of heart that comes from God be always, somebody say always, present in your hearts and lives. Now listen to this next line. I want you to catch this, okay? For this is your responsibility. Now think about it. You've got peace. Jesus, when he left, said to his disciples, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. He said, this is your responsibility and privilege as members. and always, he ends with this, always be thankful. So I want to talk to you a little bit about thankfulness, because thankfulness is one of the key elements of the mystery of harvest. And when I got reading this, listen to Psalms 100, verse 4. Says, go through his open gates with great thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. These are all scriptures you've probably heard. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This verse in Psalms 104 is a present concept verse. It is literally talking about you engaging and entering a place in the presence of God. Now, you may say that, yeah, I do that every time I come into worship. When the psalmist is writing this, he's talking about being in a place where you experience the fullness of who God is for you. Whatever that looks like. Whatever his presence looks like for that area. So the power of blessing that he's talking about, he says, bless his name. We have the ability to bless, and sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're so busy talking one way and doing it another way that we miss the most key essential for us is not just to thank God, but bless who he is. We have that ability. It's this kind of a thing that happens. It's gratitude. It represents blessing. It represents honor. It represents focus. It represents the realization of who we are, what we have, and how we got what we have. And who we got it from. And so the psalmist has given us this little verse. But it's so powerful. Do you remember the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22? When Israel was on their journey. And so Balak called Balaam and said, I want you to come curse these people. You remember that? Numbers 22 and Numbers 23. Interesting story. Anyway, so he's standing on the mountain. First he doesn't go. First, and then his donkey almost crushes him and he talks to him. The whole encounter's cool if you want me. You know, if I'm hunting and my dog starts talking to me, it's a pretty cool encounter. So anyway, the donkey talks to him. Finally, the Lord releases him to go and he goes to the top of the mountain. The Lord says, by the way, you cannot curse what I bless. I got thinking about that. Now let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that? Because I got a couple of follow-up questions. So if we really believe that we can't be cursed, why are we so fearful of the demonic? Why are we so worried about what's happening around us? Right? Any place where the foundation of God is the foundation. Our lives, our country, no matter what it is, we're blessed. We have a part. Our part is to be thankful. Our part is to bless. So most cultures today in society will celebrate the harvest or blessings after they have it. Did you know that? Most cultures will celebrate a blessing, they'll be thankful, they'll give praise for a blessing after they actually are experiencing the blessing. But if you look at Jewish culture, it is totally different. Bible culture is totally set up different. It's the mystery of the harvest. In the Bible, it's a people celebrating the harvest. And this story in Jeremiah is talking about a group of people celebrating a harvest, listen to this, that they never had, that never even took place. As a matter of fact, if you look at the life of Israel, there was years and years and years and years and years and years and years where they didn't have a harvest at all. And they were blessing God and thanking God, even though they didn't even have seed. I was thinking about myself. I think I missed this revelation. Lord, but I don't even have seed for that. Lord, I haven't even planted anything. I believe in sowing and reaping, but there's a concept of sometimes, and I'm going to show you some verses here, reality, the Bible even tells us that it's God that gives seed to the sower. We lose sight of that everything we are, all that we have, and how blessed we are is solely because of him. And what happens is it begins to affect our gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is super important. And for 3 years, I tell you, it's been hard to find thankfulness in some situations. Now, hey, if you don't want to work and you want to stay home, quarantine's great for you. I go shack crazy. I can't do it. I mean, that's your preference. But can you imagine if you lived in a place of celebration of a non-existent harvest or a non-existent blessing? Imagine, let me put it this way. Imagine if I called you over to my house, a bunch of you, and you said, why are we here, Pastor? We're going to celebrate. Why? I've got 5 acres of land coming. Oh, did you find some property? Nope. You got money in the bank to buy property? Nope. You know what you would say? This is crazy. Hopefully you wouldn't. Most people would say, yeah. You say, okay, I get that. Okay, and then I call you the next day and say, come over to the house. We're going to have a celebration. I've got 5 acres of land coming. Have you been online looking? Nope. I'm just celebrating. I'm just believing. I'm excited. It's non-existent. I don't even see it. Israel did this for harvest for centuries. Not months, not weeks. If you study the cultural of history, of history for Israel, this is what it looked like. And it is actually one of the most powerful truths in the Bible. God commanded the people to celebrate the harvest of the promised land they didn't even have yet. They weren't even in the motion of crossing yet. So in 70 AD or AD 70, the land of Israel was destroyed. The Jewish people were scattered to the ends of the earth. There was no more harvest, no more grain or fruits to be gathered. But even in that time, if you do the history, they kept celebrating and being thankful for harvest anyway. I used to think to myself, man, how could the Jewish people go through the Holocaust? This is why. They actually live with an attitude of gratitude. I don't know if you've watched any of those movies. It's pretty incredible when you watch some of the things that went on. To celebrate non-existent barley harvest, to celebrate, to give thanks for non-existent fruit harvest, to rejoice over non-existent vines overflowing with grapes. It almost sounds like they label us Pentecostals. It almost sounds crazy. It just doesn't make sense to me. How can something so simple, you enter his gates, think of the concept. You're headed for presence, but you don't even get through the gates without gratitude. Isn't it interesting that we want presence without gratitude? And a lot of times we want stuff quick. Just pray for me and it'll be over and I'll be okay. God, I know you can do this. Just do it now. I wonder, I've even thought about my own life. How consistent am I in my thankful declaration and gratitude, not just because of what I have, but for the things that have been spoken over my life, the promises in the Word of God for you and me. You know, you may not even be sick right now. You can be thanking God for health. You can be thanking God for protection. And I think sometimes we spend so much time with wanting, asking, and I'm okay with that, that we miss the simplistic power of gratitude. One of the things I've learned over the last couple of years is, if you want to get in God's presence quick, begin with gratitude. Every encounter I've had with the Lord has been from 15 to 20 minutes of gratitude, going through the list, all the things that I have God, I can be thankful to God for. And this is one of the secret keys of the kingdom. We're called to be a faith people. We're supposed to operate differently than this world operates. This world operates rejoicing after seeing the blessing. And you can do that too. But we're also called to be the people that celebrate before the blessing. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's a time when we are praying about something where we have to stop asking and just start agreeing? Right? There comes a time when your prayer life shifts from pursuit to gratitude. Just where you just say, Father, your word says this. I'm asking for this word to be present in my life. Now, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's mine. So here's some concepts. Don't wait to see your blessing in order to rejoice. Rejoice and you will see your blessing. Don't wait for the gift to come in order to give thanks. Give thanks. What if giving thanks will make the gift come? Will create an atmosphere for the gift to come. Don't wait until your circumstances are right in order to celebrate. Celebrate anyway until your circumstances become right. I mean, these simple thoughts. Don't wait for the victory to be won in order to become victorious. Declare that you're victorious and watch your victory come. This is so simple, but yet it's so challenging. And I'm asking the Lord, why are we not getting this? And the world and the enemy and society and everything we face likes to put pressure on us. It's one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 75, 1, the Amplified Bible. We give praise and thanks to you, O God. We praise and give thanks. Now, listen how this verse is starting. Twice. We give praise, we give thanks. We give praise, we give thanks. Your wondrous works declare that your name is near. That word name here in Hebrew actually means the report of God. It means the fame of God, the work of God, the charge of God. So here's what they're giving thanks and they're praising about his name. This is who you are. And you're near all the time. Then he goes on to say this, they who invoke your name. Those who invoke your name. Think about that. That word invoke means to call forth. It actually has one of those creepy spiritual definitions that we don't like. It means to conjure. You know, we think, oh, he's conjuring something up. He's of the devil, you know. Actually, it's a biblical word, the word conjure. It means to do what you have to do according to the kingdom. It means to put into effect. And then he says this, watch this. They who invoke your name and rehearse your wonders. This is the Amplified Bible. It's beautiful. That word rehearse means to say it again and again and again and again and again and again. You ever seen somebody rehearse their lines, rehearse a song? It also means to recite out loud. I have no problem talking to myself. Anybody else? I have 100% conversations with myself. It means to recount. It means to engage. That's what rehearse means. So Psalms 105 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his doings among the people. He's talking about us getting to a place where we begin to remember the promises. We begin to even though you may not have that seed for that promise. You know, We record your prophetic word here at the church on your phone for a reason. It's so you can go back and hear those prophetic words and bless them and be thankful for them and to pray into them and declare them out loud. Sometimes we get words, sometimes we get promises, sometimes in our quiet time, we hear things from God that he speaks into our life that, and I don't know if you're like me, like, if I don't write it down, my phone's full of stuff. I forget it 15 minutes later. What was that word that guy gave? What was that thing, Lord, that you spoke to me about? Father, what was that thought that I had when I was spending time with you? Father, what was that promise I read the other day that you said that's your promise? And we just let those moments slide by. And we need to start feeding them and setting ourselves up. See, this was the secret of Israel's mystery harvest. Celebrate the blessing you don't even see. That's wild. Celebrate the harvest you don't have yet. When you do, you will have the blessings. Then you'll be able to celebrate and continue in celebrating. What happens is it's made known among the people. Psalms 105 and 1, which I just read. I've learned this. Sometimes the greatest stance that I can take in the kingdom is thankfulness. Not fasting. Not long drawn out prayers. They're great. That's all great. And sometimes you go through things in life where you have to do that. The greatest stance you can have is thankfulness. But we don't think of it that way sometimes. So thankfulness is a declaration of the Father's goodness before it's even seen. Let me say that again. Thankfulness is a verbal declaration of God's goodness before it's even seen. It's the most supernatural declaration there is. Sometimes we think, because we, in our culture, let's be honest, in our culture, we only say thankful when something's given to us. Here's $100. Oh my gosh, thank you. Here's $1,000. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's $1,000,000. I don't have the thanks. That's our culture. It's hard to shift our mentality from this. Because your declarations are creative. They produce a harvest. Automatically. Listen, this is Proverbs 18, 20, 21. This is the Amplified Bible. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With his consequences of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Consequences is the conclusion derived by what's coming out of your mouth. It's the consequence. It's the conclusion. It's not happened yet. The more you tie your mouth to it, the better chance it has of happening. Whether it's good or it's bad, it doesn't matter. I can speak myself into trouble. I can speak myself out of blessing and I can speak myself into blessing. I can talk myself out of harvest, I can talk myself into harvest. The wisest man in the world gave us this verse. Solomon. Good or evil. Death 21, he says this. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. That is a language. It's not a word. You've heard me preach about that. It's not you making a mistake and getting angry and uttering a word. It's the constant language that you live in. Listen to this. Marriages have languages. Communities have a language. Youth have a language. A church has a language. We all are living in language. Generation X, Generation Y, there's going to be a Generation Q and a Generation. Yeah, there's just going to be generation. We're going to go through the whole alphabet eventually. And every one of them will have a language that they develop. Proverbs, here's what Solomon's saying. This is God's language. Life and death. You get to choose which one you're going to connect with. And then he says this, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or for life. The word indulge means to yield according to the way you talk. I love this translation of this word indulge. It means to give your mouth free rein. Anybody ever know anybody who's got a mouth that's free rein? Not like free range chicken or free range eggs, or it's just free range. It's all over the place. One day they're blessing, they're shouting. The next day they're sulking and they're sad. One day over here, I got the victory. And over here the next day, the devil's beating them. The snot out of me, Pastor. I mean, it's just constant. Boom. It's free range. It's everywhere. It's jacked up, messed up. And then they wonder, why don't I have the victory? Why can't I walk in a consistent place? Listen, you can have trouble and still have gratitude. The longer you connect your language to your situation, the longer you're going to stay there. Your word Your mouth is a big part of your freedom from moving from the place of no harvest, stepping into a place of pure harvest. And this is how we're called to live. It's one of the keys of the kingdom way. What? Before you see your blessing, rejoice and give thanks for it. Celebrate the mystery of it. Anybody ever have anything happen to you? You don't understand how it happened, but it happened. Get a check you weren't expecting. How'd that happen? I can't remember how much money one time me and my wife, when we first moved here. It was, I mean, we just, when the guy that Jeff Rampey did my taxes one year, and he said, yeah, man, you made this much money extra. I went, how is that even possible to even see that in there? He said, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And it was just because we lived in a place of faith. Listen, you can't disconnect faith and gratitude. One of the most favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews 11:1, the Passion Translation, says this, now faith. You know what faith is? Faith is your belief system. Your belief system will be heard and seen by what comes out of your mouth and how you act. I can hang out with you for a couple of weeks. You'll discover my faith system. I'll discover your faith system. I'll discover what you really believe, what you're really declaring, and you'll discover what I really believe and I'm declaring. It doesn't take long. He says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes, listen to this, the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. Your belief system, your words, your thought processes are the foundation actually of the things that you long for. The things that God's spoken to you. And this is said, listen to this, next part of this verse, this Passion Translation. He said, it is all the evidence required. It's all the evidence required. Your faith is all the evidence is required. It's easy to have faith if you match faith with praise. We're trying to figure out what faith. I got to come up with this big faith. Just be thankful. Just worship. It's so simple. It's so simple that we miss it sometimes. He said it's all the evidence required to prove, listen to this, what is still unseen. The reality of what you hope for, listen to this statement. The reality of what you hope for begins with worship. Begins with gratitude. Wow. It creates the place. This is what Hebrews 11:1 says. It creates the place for the birthing of that thing you can't see. I'm okay with somebody saying, hey, I'm having a hard time. Can you pray for this? But when people constantly live in that place, they're hardening the soil for the seed that God has already placed there to bring forth fruit, to bring forth something. Right? James 1:2-4 tells us, whatever happens in life should begin with, consider it holy joy. Be joyful. One translation says, rejoice. One translation says, be full of cheer. The great translation I love is the Living Bible says, be happy. What a great song. Don't worry. Be happy. I just love this verse. See, when it comes to the critical thing, it's not about the thing that you're going through. It's whether you take things for granted or you take things with gratitude. Whatever your situation, whatever that thing is, you can start taking for gratitude all that God has, without gratitude, all that God has done for you before, all the victories, the past victories that you've won, the place that you've stood, and then you miss it, and all of a sudden you realize, I better start thanking God. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Right? What first thing he did? He lifted up and he blessed it. Now, I've preached on that story from every angle. And this is what I got when I was reading it today. God fed the 5,000. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit says. Be thankful in your present state. If it's one loaf, five loaves, no loaves. Have the right attitude. Whatever that state is. Well, my state sucks right now. Be thankful. Listen, I was listening to this. I just looked reading this verse and listened to the Lord today. He said, look, Jamie, if thankful is all you got, be it. When you're going through, if that's all you've got to give, if you're going to give anything, give that. I mean, let's be real. In Joshua 6, they're walking around the walls of Jericho. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Joshua hasn't given them the full picture. All he said was shut up. And then we're going to give this shout. We're all going to shout together. We're going to be in unity. We're going to celebrate. I mean, the people behind the walls must have been thinking, what are they doing? Like, what's the point? They're not even making any even effort to overcome the wall. But when they gave that shout of praise, the supernatural encounter showed up. That's all it took. That's all it took. It took a group of people saying, let's rejoice. The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. The original translation says yeah or yay. Y-E-H, I like that. All the promises are yay. Yahoo, yay. That was what it would mean in my translation. And amen means to declare trustworthy. To say, so be it. I don't have to see it, but I can say, so be it. I don't have to touch it, but I can say, so be it. I don't have to be in it right now, but I can say, so be it. Now think about this. Worship and praise is what led Israel into battle. Now I'm pretty sure the last thing you want to do if you're a musician is be the guys in the front in a war. We're sitting around a circle and we're saying, okay, we got to go into battle. Hey, guitar player, you're out front. Like, for most of us, we're like, that doesn't even make sense. There's so much about the Bible, to me, in the natural, that doesn't make sense. But God says, this is the process of the kingdom. Now, listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians, and I'm almost done. A couple more thoughts, and we're out of here. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says this, the Living Bible. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on, good crops to harvest. So here's my question. How does that happen? It's supernatural. All of a sudden, you have seed you've never had. I mean, Israel, after years and 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 years of not planting seed, all of a sudden, they've got seed. All of a sudden, they step into harvest. And then he says, not only that, I just want you to know, I didn't stop at the seed. I was the one that ensured your seed so that your crop would be good. And it all begins when my people begin to praise me and to thank me. He says, and eat, and we'll give you more and more seed to plant, and we'll make it grow so that you can give it away more and more fruit from your harvest. It's a concept of God when we stay in the right attitude, when we recognize who it is that we're blessed by. And we live in gratitude and we live in praise of that. The King James says it's he that ministereth seed to the sower. Means to furnish. I love this. This word minister in the Greek, listen to this, means the dance leader. So God's got his thing going on. He's giving you the promise. He's leading in the celebration. It's a party. We're going to dance. We're going to dance our way through this. He's celebrating because he knows everything you need, he's more than able to provide for you. And all he requires is gratitude. That's where it comes from. It comes from God. How the process starts and keeps us in a place of fullness is thankfulness. Thankfulness feeds your hope, your faith, your love, your joy, your trust. It's a kingdom principle. James 1:17 is one of my favorite verses. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I was sitting today thinking about Independence Day. And I had this thought. Over the last 2 years, have I lived with an attitude of gratitude? Or have we got together and just talked about how miserable it's been and how awful it's been and how lame and the president this and the president that and so-and-so this, and we've got onto every bandwagon about everything negative. We've poured negative words into our lives. We've received negative stuff, non-Christian. I'm just being honest with you. And sometimes it is not pretty, I'm sure, for sinners to hear our conversations. And I said, Lord, why in the world would you have me preach on gratitude on July 4th? He said, Sammy, he said, I think people have gotten so wrapped up in all that's happening, they've forgotten to thank me for my freedom, for their freedom. Our freedom spiritually. We've shifted where we're not speaking what we should be speaking over our country, even though we don't see it yet. Let me tell you, the greatest hindrance to this country will be when the church becomes silent. When we cease to pray, when we cease to bless, when we cease to be thankful for what we have. Me and my wife are talking. We do this all the time in the car. And it's not a prideful thing. I'll just say to my wife, I said to her on the way here, I said, you know, if there's times I get in my truck, I can't believe I actually own a truck. How many of y'all know trucks are expensive? It's like buying a small house. My wife will say, yeah, there's times I walk into our house and it's like, Lord, you have really been good to us. She was seeing the trailer we lived in when we first got married. You could step over on this side of the bed and go to the bathroom, and over on this side of the bed and make yourself a sandwich. If you wanted to watch TV, you just pointed it at the bed. It was tiny. It was like we were living in a tiny house before you even heard the word tiny house. And we just begin to reminisce about how good God has been. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:16. He said, I am beside myself with joy. And he says this, I am so confident in you. What a beautiful thought. Paul said, I count it all joy in every tribulation. The reason he's saying that is because he realized, I am so confident in you. Not in this. Not in what's happening around us. Listen, if we don't speak life over America, America's in trouble. If we don't start agreeing with the blessings of God, see, it's about positioning you and positioning what's happening around you. So this is the last verse I want to give you. It's Psalms 140, 13, out of the Amplified Bible. It says this, surely the uncompromisingly righteous shall give thanks to your name. There's that name again. The upright shall dwell in your presence before your very face. That's what gratitude does. It positions us. So what is your attitude right now with your present state? Physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. With your country, what's your attitude? With your family, what's your attitude? With your marriage, with your business, with your finances. Now listen, acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation of all abundance. Let me say it one more time. Acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation of all abundance. And when you don't keep that foundation healthy, it can get messed up sometimes. And it's hard to not be negative sometimes. That must be real. Right? I think we've put too much approval on the negative that we say and we call it spiritual. And it's just blatantly negative. And so God is turning, he's trying to turn the channel, the focus, the lens where we start really seeing how blessed we are. And I would like to somehow know how much gratitude was actually offered up today for this great country. I'm not talking about what's going on now. Has this country not been a blessing to anybody in here? And if we'll line our words up with what God says about this country and has promised about this country, it's got godly foundation. It's built on a godly foundation. The things we don't even see now will come into be. I heard somebody say to me, well, you know, sometimes bad things have to happen for there to be a revival. Maybe. Lord, I don't want bad things to happen for there to be a revival. Just give us revival. I don't think God does bad things. I'm just not that way. I don't push Noah in front of a car to teach him not to go jump in front of a car. I didn't take him for a walk down on the wharf when he was four and push him off and say, swim. I just don't believe that way. I believe we there's evil in the world, there's good in the world. The Bible says we overcome evil with good. And it's easy for us to get this concept. I just had lunch with Perry. Me and I had lunch this week, and I was telling Perry, I said, Perry, there has to be a shift in the church with what we're declaring out of our mouth. We are not lining up with who we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be life speakers, not death speakers. I don't have to live in fear to pray. I can pray without feeling fear. I can pray just out of gratitude and the goodness of God.